I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, 50 Shades of Pale Yellow. Movie Maintenance is approaching their 100th episode, and to help celebrate such a momentous occasion, they're teaming up with Plumbing the Death Star to do another live show. It's on Saturday, the 29th of April, from 3 till 6 p.m. at the Exford Hotel in Melbourne. Tickets are available through Tribe Bookings, so just follow the link in the show notes to book yours today. However, we do have limited seating, so get in quick to avoid missing out.
Welcome to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some ceremonies just need fixing. I'm Gabe.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Handsome Tom.
Today we're looking at the Oscars. How do we all feel?
Guys, I'm so sorry. It's wrong. It's not me. I'm not in the episode. It says Kath on the envelope.
Oh.
So I'm just gonna respectfully hand it over to her. I'm sorry, guys.
Ah.
Warren Beatty fucked it up.
Warren, what did you do?
Hey, guys.
Oh, welcome aboard. Thanks for stepping in there.
Right.
Just clarify, Kathy, you're not here for, like, you know, any actual merit. You're here because you've seen Moonlight and Handsome Tom hasn't.
Well, I wouldn't want to be here for any other reason.
Have you seen Moonlight?
I have seen Moonlight. Oh, good. Did you not know that?
No, you've been one of the three people in the world who has.
Why did we watch it last night then?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't love Moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
but you
feel
didn't
warmly
know
towards
that.
It.
That I wouldn't love it or that you'd seen it?
That you wouldn't love it.
Fair enough.
Like, I mean, the thing with Moonlight is that, and there are many things with Moonlight, but it's actually not a bad film in any way, shape, or form. Point A, I'm very clearly not its target audience, so that's a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Point B, I think it just, like, it was exactly what I thought it would be.
Oscar wank?
There was an honest trailer for the Oscars that came out, and honest trailers, you know, usually a bit hit-miss, but this one was really good, and it kind of, like, went through Moonlight, and it was like, okay, a gay, black, disadvantaged... Like all of the things that happens,
like,
kind of
like
it ticks all the boxes.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I think
intersectionality.
There's a few people were like, oh, like Moonlight was a really unexpected win. I was like, was it? Like it really hit all of those beats. And it was kind of, honestly, for my money, I was like, it's kind of boring and kind of pretentious. I don't think it was a bad film. I think it had some really good moments. I think it was beautifully shot.
Did you like it, Kat? Because I was bored by it.
I fucking loved Moonlight. Fuck.
Justify your contention.
Okay, but here's the thing, and I want to address this first. I've heard it's been described as Oscar bait before, and I just like so assiduously disagree with that. I don't know if that's a correct use of that word, but I do.
Go with it.
No, but here's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, its content is sure. It's like intersectionality, which is very kind of like it's hitting a lot of things that people are rallying to be more in the public consciousness and in the films, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got to remember that this is a film that, like, it does not have star power behind it. It did not have – Barry Jenkins is a first-time director. It is a tiny budget film. It got where it got today. It got all this clout and all this people going – this momentum behind it just by being good because it had nothing else going for it in terms of, like, mainstream appeal.
No, but it had all the elements of an Oscar movie.
But there are plenty of films out there that hit those beats but aren't Moonlight.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's actually reasonable because, you know, a lot of those films that you would immediately label as Oscar Wayne definitely have like a star anchoring it, whether it be like a star actor, star director, star whatever. But like in the case of Moonlight, yeah, definitely didn't have any of that. But like I think...
People just loved it. People just responded to it. And that's why
it definitely hit chords for a lot of people, and that's I totally respect that. But like I had real problems with a lot of the way it did things. Like Mahershala Ali's character, which he won Best Supporting Actor... he was barely in the film and didn't do very much, and I really like him as an actor.
But there is such a history of that happening.
Yeah, I think he's probably the best thing about House of Cards, for example. Yeah. I think he's really... But in this
I thought his performance was very good.
It was fine.
But yeah, I wouldn't put it above others.
And then there's that bit where little Chiron is like, oh yeah, do you sell drugs? And he's like, yeah. And he starts crying. And I'm like, you met this kid like last week.
Yeah.
We've seen a few scenes of you together where you don't really talk. That's the other thing. How the fuck did a film with barely any dialogue win best screenplay? And the dialogue that was there was nothing to write home about. It was just...
For me, it shouldn't have won screenplay.
But no, it sure as fuck... Like, directing, I could understand.
Yep.
Like, film... Okay, I mean, I do think, and this might be... But, like, I don't think this is necessarily a controversial statement. I think, in part, it definitely won Best Picture as a statement.
Yeah.
I really don't think it was hitting the same heights in terms of screenwriting, in terms of directing, in terms of structure as something like Hell or High Water.
Yeah, I take issue with films like Moonlight because I think it's largely it's formless.
No, it's, yeah,
no, but it is it, like films like this kind of bother me, and that I want an antagonist in a film.
Yes,
and so when there's a film like this where it's just like, oh, this man struggles, and we're going to sort of
and
chapter
let's
his life.
It's very light on plot.
Obviously, yes, this film
I
want
the plot to kick in, and it never.
But that's,
did.
It was it's a character piece.
But that's like, yeah. Obviously this film is very important to a lot of. But that, yeah, the other thing is that like yeah exactly the film is important to a lot of people, and we're not necessarily shitting on the film.
No,
we're just
no,
being
no.
Like this, we aren't the target audience for it, and it I think we both sort of agreed that we just kind of found it. But also I mean. Like you say, it's a character piece. I didn't really get a hell of a lot of character from it.
But that's like, the brilliance of it. It's kind of like taking... No. I know that sounds really pretentious. But hear me out. It takes this kind of concept of identity and sexual identity and this concept of what it is to be gay and this kind of almost takes it and pulls it into this other realm of... We're so like bombarded with the stereotype of like kind of like the chatty over-the-top gay man. And then it... And I love that line where he's like, I am man. I can't remember exact the phrasing, but he's like, I'm me, I'm man. I'm not trying to be anything. And I'm like... It's this idea of like sexuality and identity and how, you know, sexuality isn't a choice, but identity is, and that how that gets entangled because we are, you know, he is so different and he is so quiet and so kind of just is as opposed to trying to be something. And it's something so powerful in that. And that's the appeal of
Moonlight. I don't know. Just,
that's a good character, but not a good story.
Yeah.
See, and that's it. Like, okay. So before anybody starts like, you know, pulling the diversity card and stuff like that, Brokeback Mountain, which was so wrongly snubbed on so many levels when it came out.
And there are a lot of parallels.
It's a brilliant, brilliant fucking movie. And it tells an amazing story with a great central theme and great characters.
And that's a character piece.
With similar themes, Brokeback Mountain did just about everything better. And it's actually a story that you can get engaged in. You want to see what happens and you care about the characters. Like in Moonlight, I didn't give a shit about any of
Brokeback Mountain has a narrative drive to it. Moonlight didn't.
No, it didn't. And but I almost feel, I mean, the Oscars have a history of sort of answering these kind of wrongs.
Yes, but Kathy, that is why it is an Oscar film.
But okay, so this probably leads into like a really interesting thing to debate about the Oscars is their merits. Because in theory, like ostensibly the Oscars are meant to reward the best achievements in filmmaking of the year.
Yep.
Do we seriously think that Moonlight was the best achievement of filmmaking? So when you say best picture, it's all of the other things put together. I'm thinking best acting, best writing, best directing, best all of that. Maybe not necessarily excelling in one over all the others, but hitting all of those marks in something that really comes together in a film that really blows people away. Because I just don't think it is. Particularly in like the year we've had, obviously, like make no mistake, giving a film like Moonlight Best Picture is far and away a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Like it's fair enough to a point, but does it have anything to do with like its merits as a film?
It's almost not more as important what it's about. Though. To herald something like that than to be
But then
herald
is that it? So that, and that's I'm not saying yes or no, but is that the Oscars?
But I don't want to herald something. I would rather that the Oscars were just, hey,
that's what the
best
Oscars
film.
Are.
Yeah, I know.
Because there was a time when you're looking at films like Silence of the Lambs, like The Godfather, like all-time classics people still talk about today and still recommend and still point to as the finest examples of the form of filmmaking. And now it's like, okay, let's go through the last few years of Oscar winners. Spotlight has been completely forgotten a year later. Sometimes people talk about The King's Speech here and
people
there.
People talk about The Artist in reference to having not ever seen
exactly.
it. Artist, myself included.
Artist is forgotten as a film. Hurt Locker
is
forgotten
was
as a film.
The Artist was a piece of wank, I'm sure. I've never seen it, but I'm so sure it's crap.
But see, like...
Which one?
The Artist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At what
that's
point,
see,
at what
the
point,
Artist is Oscar bait in its worst form, in my opinion.
Well, much of what gets nominated for Best Picture is Oscar
bait. I'm sorry, but like...
And then they've expanded, you know, like after the Dark Knight sort of thing back in, what, 2008, they expanded it. Now we've got, you know, a maximum of 10 nominees instead of
but
five.
But they don't always...
They're just pandering because they want an audience. They want to bring it...
They don't actually like use that to bring. I mean, every now and then you get like, you know, an Arrival or a Hell or High Water, films that, you know, normally wouldn't get nominated.
They've done it. They tend to bring in one sort of commercial success. So you can bring like the TV,
your Gravity,
audience,
your Mad Max Fury Road. And I mean, look, I say this as somebody who was really not blown away by Mad Max Fury Road, but I honestly thought that film should have won last year. Mm. The reason for that is, and Gravity before that, because the reason for it is that both of those films were films that totally seized the public consciousness, that had a huge passionate reaction. I mean, box office, take it or leave it as to whether it's important or not.
Yeah.
But those were films that totally grabbed the zeitgeist, totally had everybody talking about it, totally like were critically acclaimed, all of that, and popular successes in the same way films like Silence of the Lambs, films like The Godfather were before them.
Yep.
To me, those are the kind of films that are still going to be talked about in 10, 20, 30 years' time. Mm-hmm. Moonlight is not. And the nominees, Lion, who the fuck is going to be talking about Lion a year from now? Please tell me, because that was an objectively bad movie.
Within the Australian industry, they're still going to be talking about it.
Well, sure. Because
it's a massive success.
Like, it's an Aussie film that bloody got there and it was successful and all that. Doesn't make it a good film. I looked at Moonlight and honestly, I think I liked it slightly more than you did, Sean, which isn't to say that I thought it was very good. No, actually, no, I did think it was good. I thought it was probably a very well-made film.
Moonlight's a good film.
I looked at it.
It's just not for me.
It's not the kind of
missing all
the
elements that I really go to a film to watch.
Like the objective issues I could point to are things like the characters, things like I just didn't. I mean, yeah, I can actually agree with what
the performances were fantastic.
Yeah, I can agree that like Chiron had a lot going on that like you could see in there and it wasn't overstated and I appreciated that. But the other characters in the film, like Kevin, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I didn't care.
Juan, who gives a shit? Like, I just didn't think they were but good, well written.
They didn't do enough with his mum either. For the
mum verged on being a good character, but wasn't really prominent
didn't pay
enough
off
or
at all,
developed
really.
As well as I think the film thought she was.
People have said this to me before, and I hate it when they say it to me, but I'm going to have to say it to you. Mm. That's kind of like life. Like, life doesn't always have these payoffs. They don't.
It wasn't about the payoffs, Kath. It was about how those characters were developed.
Yeah.
And I think they were underdeveloped, and I think the film put more emphasis on being poetic and beautiful and all of those things. Which, honestly, fair enough. But again, not for me.
My question to you guys, and I actually don't know the answer to this. I feel like I know the answer to it. In the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, name a single film that has won Best Picture that didn't have some kind of star power behind it. Or some kind of, even if directed, like I'm thinking.
Hurt Locker. Jeremy Renner was not a star when Hurt Locker came out.
That was really quick.
And Catherine Bigelow didn't really have much of a
problem. No.
Oh, James Cameron's ex, is that? No. Yeah, okay. No. You know what? I stand corrected.
But yeah, well, I think
thought I had you.
I'm going to continue this argument because like, I think we can sort of agree to disagree on the Moonlight front. However, I do feel like Moonlight I can look at and be like, you know, I can appreciate what that film does even if it doesn't blow my mind.
Yep.
What I cannot appreciate is bullshit like Lion getting nominated.
Yeah.
Like, are you seriously trying to suggest to me that Lion, that you looked at, like, you had to choose 10 films out of the plethora of films released last year, and you put in Lion over Sing Street or
Hunt for the World of People?
Yeah. Really?
Those are the two films that I would put in at the expense of, Lion has to go. There's a couple of films in the 10 that I hadn't seen.
We plan to see all 10.
I haven't seen Fences, Hidden Figures, or Manchester by the Sea. So if I have to knock out another one for, you know, Sing Street and World of People, I'd get rid of Arrival.
Oh,
yeah, so would I.
See, okay. Yeah. You asked before what was the best film of that year. If I think about the film that affected me the most emotionally, it's Arrival.
Let me just say.
See, that's high on my list.
Let me say that I liked Arrival quite a bit. But for me, it hummed along, and then it was really only the last 20 minutes where it really kicked me in the heart.
No! I mean, I hate to reduce the film to just some shots,
but
that, like, the whole first act of entering the spaceship and even seeing it for the first time, it was phenomenally put together. Like, so, it was just
kind of
beautiful
just kind
filmmaking.
Of steer back. Do we feel like in this day and age, the Oscars are actually a relevant thing in the film industry?
They still are. To the extent where, like, it's a big deal
it still
to be
is a
an
big
Academy
deal.
Award winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
Just ask Suicide Squad.
And, like,
because they're now one.
But then you look at the stuff, and I mean, everyone's talking about it, everyone watches it, and the stuff they're nominating. And I think that's why you could, honestly, if people who are more equipped to have this conversation than us should have this conversation, but, like, you know, if voting something like Moonlight was in some way a statement, it's like, should a film just be focused on its merit? Should it not? Yeah. Should it be trying to make a point or trying to make a middle finger to like the things that are going on in the world? And look, I don't really know. I mean, I for a long time haven't taken the Oscars that seriously because I don't feel like they actually really reward films on their merits. I think they reward, like there was a great Onion film review of The Butler that came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
The guy just kind of was going through all the scenes of The Butler and he was like talking about The Butler and he goes, so as you can see in this scene, here's The Butler talking to this president. And as you can see, it's very important. And in the next scene, here's the butler crying with his wife and talking about this issue. And as you can see, it's very important. And all of this really spoke to me because it made me realize how important this film is. And all it went on about was just like how important this film is. But The Butler is one of those films that was clearly like a swing and a miss of trying to grab that Oscar.
Yeah.
Based on all, again, I haven't seen it. Maybe it's an amazing film, but like by all the reactions to it, it was kind of laughed off as being like the worst example of really, really pandering Oscar bait. But those films like Lion still kind of nominated. And do the Oscars, I guess, have a responsibility to be focusing more on filmmaking merits or focusing on socio-political issues as well?
I think you got to find a balance between the two.
Yeah.
Because I do think that the Oscars have a responsibility to do that.
For sure.
But my personal preference is always just for the highest quality films.
You got to remember the films that if a film gets nominated or wins,
that's a huge boost.
The studio is going to put more money into it, and therefore,
I mean, it's
you get nominated, then you watch the box office numbers go up for each of these films.
Yeah, so it means it's going to get more awareness, and so really, there is an inherent responsibility in that context.
What annoys me the most about the Oscars, the whole idea of Oscar bait, is that basically it's like these films that actually just get made to win Oscars.
The thing about the Oscars and the whole entire award season in Hollywood is that it's all about money. It's like these studios come in with their campaigns.
The Oscars
money. I just, the idea of that drives me crazy.
And you campaign to get
yourself nominated.
You get your nomination and then you get your Oscar buzz and you get all of that. Then everyone goes and sees the film. And so you get like shit films like Birdman, just these hollow films that like have the airs and graces of being like important or being about something serious when they're not actually, they don't actually have any real craft or any real effort or any real skill to them.
Yeah.
And they fucking get awarded because Oscars are like, oh yeah, no, we have to like award this film because this looks important.
But do you think they sat down when they were going to make Lion and were
list of like nominees from the last few years?
Okay, but
keep talking.
I'm gonna... Lion in particular, I don't believe that they sat down and they were like, let's win some Oscars.
No, maybe not in especially with that film.
Yeah, like, you're right.
No, the producers of that film, they've been working on that for 4 years and all that sort of thing. There are specific films that are like, all right, we're going to shoot this now and we're going to release it in December. That'll give us, you know, awards.
I think
it was more of a process, but yeah, I think.
No, but here's the thing. That's not the producers. Maybe it's the studios. I don't think it's the filmmakers. I think the filmmakers are trying to tell a story.
Yeah.
And maybe they fall flat.
But I just think with Lion, it's very tailor-made to be an Oscar film.
Yes, I totally agree.
It's inspiring true story. It's got hits all those elements.
I'm like, who is this film actually for? Like, who is this? It's not good enough to like, to, you know, just grab people by quality alone.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just this weepy true story that.
But maybe they were trying to make something good enough to grab people alone.
Yeah, they probably were.
I actually think it was lazy.
You do? That's interesting.
I agree. I think Lion was a really lazy screenplay.
Yeah, so do
screenplay.
I.
Screenplay.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. The second half.
Anything that isn't Young Saru.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, yeah.
I don't think it's lazy. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I do. I just think it's confused. I think it's mishandled.
Yeah. The thing that I would really wish that they would change about the Oscars, they should bring Best Picture back down to 5.
Yeah. Because
when you have 10, I get why they did it. They did it to be more commercial so they could get films like Avatar and that sort of thing in. But what they've done is...
But they're never going to award those films anyway.
That's
so
the
why
thing. We go into the awards and we were like, there's literally only like two films that could probably win this award.
Right. Yes.
It was Moonlight and it was La La Land.
I mean, last year there was like Spotlight, Revenant, and The Big Short.
Really
Big Short was like, it was hanging in there. Yeah, like, no, there was
that's
a chance.
The other thing. The Oscars come at the very end of the really long award season.
Yeah.
Like we're almost in March now and this thing's been going on since like December. And it's like, for fuck's sake, by the time you get to it, there's been every other awards and you've seen everybody else win and you kind of know who's going to win.
Well, see, I think that was to La La Land's detriment. I think La La Land was like on the top of the pack. Everyone was like, oh, it's a shoo-in. Like, it was tipped to win by so much. Everyone thought it was a shoo-in. And I reckon when the Academy came to voting, they're like, oh, yeah, La La Land, of course. You know, everyone's going on about it. Yeah. It's great. But you know what? Moonlight was this little film that I fucking loved.
That in itself's a problem, though, because it shouldn't, like, if you're talking
about
awarding the best, it shouldn't be like, oh, well, that won everything else.
Well, the Academy should bring their voting way forward. They should have them vote, like, before the Globes or even, you know, whatever.
Before we launch into sort of what we thought of the actual ceremony itself, because there are some words to be had about that. where do we actually think that Moonlight is going to sit in the, like, taking away personal feelings and, like, you know, how we, like, whether or not it's our film? Because, like, you look at the year that Brokeback Mountain won and Crash won there.
Yeah.
Crash is only spoken about these days as the top example of bad Oscar winners. Brokeback Mountain is still an all-time classic.
Moonlight is not at all in that.
Because no. I can kind of see it going either way.
Because people, like you say, people talk about Crash because like, how the fuck did Crash beat that?
I don't think Moonlight's going to be one of those.
No, Moonlight won't be like, how come La La Land didn't win? What the fuck? I don't think Moonlight's going to really have that much staying power. Just for me, I don't think it's one of those films that we're going to, it's not like a Godfather or something that we're going to be talking about.
I wonder if part of it's because you know, I don't want to like linger too long on this, but like obviously, like with Trump's election, with like all the debates going on at the moment and all of that stuff, I do think Moonlight maybe was the right choice because of its relevance at this moment in history.
Yep.
Whether it has the staying power of a classic that remains relevant, remains powerful in 10, 15 years' time, depending on how things go and how things change. Like it's your enduring classics like your Godfathers, like your Silence of the Lambs, like those films that people just come back to year after year after year that reference, that have this like iconic.
They have pure story structure. That'll be the thing that separates it.
That's
kind of it.
That's why
people will come away from
Moonlight
10 years from now, they're probably not going to remember Moonlight as much as some other films because it just doesn't have
the typical elements. So then the flip side is the other one that was Best Picture for 2 minutes, do we think La La Land will? Because I don't think it will either.
I don't think it will.
Not for a second.
No. I think Whiplash will, as far as Damien Chazelle's previous film went, which I seriously do think was robbed by fucking, what was it, Birdman that won that year?
Yes.
Yeah,
Birdman, what a piece of shit.
Hacksaw Ridge is probably the one that has sort of the best chance of sort of sticking around in people's consciousness, but I'm not sure. Even on that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because it didn't actually, to be honest, Hacksaw Ridge didn't really dominate the box office or anything like that.
No.
So it's hard to say.
It did pretty well. I thought it actually
I think it did okay, but I don't think it's done enough. Like 10 years from now, I don't
not
think
like Hidden
like,
Figures.
Oh, Hacksaw
I think
Ridge,
Hidden Figures and La La Land were like the highest grossing of
actually,
that.
Yes, you can compare like Hacksaw Ridge to something like Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Which is still, when you think about war films, it's, Saving Private Ryan. I don't see Hacksaw Ridge being in the same staying power. Conversation.
Well, but here's the thing. You talk about the relevance of the Oscars. I remember George Clooney saying once, I don't remember the awards. I remember the work. And so I kind of feel like, yes, we do kind of throw the spotlight through the awards onto these films. But if a film is truly excellent and it will stand the test of time and no one's going to be like, oh, it didn't win. And if they do, then they say things like, how did Brokeback Mountain didn't win? The fact that Brokeback Mountain didn't win doesn't mean that we've forgotten it.
Well,
it's not like,
because,
that's a bit of
when all
shit
was said
now.
And done, the film ultimately.
It could be the reason why we haven't forgotten.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
They are important, like in not only like their social standing, but like also their relevance to the film industry, because as you said, they will bring more eyes to films that might not otherwise have been seen.
But only for a period of time. I feel like they're like a moment, and they're not representative of a long-term standing not opinion, but memory, I guess, of a year in film. And that's why I don't mind when something like Moonlight wins, which, you know, it's not Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because Brokeback Mountain still exists.
These awards are so subjective anyway.
They're so subjective.
You can't compare Moonlight to La La Land.
I mean? They're extremely different.
At the end of the day, it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So when you take out of the equation the questions of relevance or the questions of like staying power and things like that, we actually boil it down to just the fun of watching the ceremony. How did we feel about the 2017 ceremony?
Excellent.
Bit of an elephant in the room here. Yeah. Wait, because
had a cool ending.
Because I watched it. So we're recording the same day as the awards. So it was like during the day for us here in Australia, and we're recording at night now. And so I watched the first part with you, Sean, at home. And like I was watching it, I was live tweeting it. Like it was all fun. It was all entertaining.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems.
It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Mel Gibson was doing some very strange things every time the camera was on him.
He is
great.
Just out of his mind.
Nicole Kidman can't clap.
Really can't clap.
She has long nails. Why is everyone like
no,
surprised?
But her hands like curve into it's
yeah, bizarre. When you have like your acrylic nails or whatever she's got going on.
No, but you can
there.
Still clap your hands together. She does this weird thing where it's like
yeah, that's how girls like clap when they've got their nails done.
Nah,
but no, it wasn't even that because like it wasn't like her palms or like the heels of her
yeah,
hands.
It looks weird. I'll give
weren't
it.
Even touching. It was like
she claps like she's like a palm tree or something.
Like her palm was like hitting her wrist and then like her fingers were kind of curving
yeah.
out.
Oh,
or like there was one where like the palm of her hand was hitting like her thumb like on a side-on angle. It was
just,
really
yeah,
odd.
It was,
like
yeah.
it was just, what are you doing? And it was, but the thing is though, Kathy, you're like, oh, but that's how girls clap when they've got nails. Literally nobody else was fucking up clapping on that same
yeah,
enormous level as Nicole.
Girls clap when they have nails. I just feel for her. Like she probably spent a lot of time and money on those nails. She wants to keep them looking sharp. I get it.
Like if I could have had a Mel Gibson cam and a Nicole cam all through that would have been just the best. Because like Mel, it's like every time they cut to him, it was like he either had like this psychotic kind of glare. There was one moment where Jimmy Kimmel was standing
near
him.
Oh, he looks so uncomfortable.
Mel was like just kind of looking at Jimmy, being like, "The camera's on me. Don't look too crazy. Don't look too crazy. Don't look too crazy." And he looked fucking crazy.
Oh yeah.
And then there was that one bit which I was like, "Oh, gee, I don't even know whether to like laugh
just
or
the raspberry strap."
It was the fact that the raspberry strap came right after Jimmy Kimmel was saying, "Oh, the film about a conscientious objector who still decided to work with Mel Gibson." Which is a very obvious domestic violence joke. And then it cut to Mel Gibson's laugh, like
psychotic
unhinged
cackle, laugh,
right next to his very young new girlfriend while holding a raspberry strap
who I thought
that he's
was
just
his
taking
daughter.
A big old bite out of. Last year's Oscars, the year Spotlight won, that was actually the first year I sat down and watched the Oscars
okay,
fully because
yeah.
normally I just like, I don't care. But like last year, I think I just had this like horrible hangover from something the night before. And I was like, I'm going to lie on the couch, watch the Oscars. And I was like, I actually am quite enjoying this. Not because I'm that invested, but because it is difficult to not get kind of swept up
yeah.
in,
oh my God.
In that.
I it's love getting swept up in
a different ceremony, though, to like something like the Golden Globes where they can all get drunk.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
the Oscars
well,
is very
great,
like,
it feels when, very important.
During one of the years where Ricky Gervais was somehow invited back again.
To the
when
Globes.
He was like, the Golden Globes are like the Oscars, but without all that prestige.
Yeah, right.
A little bit louder, a little bit drunker. Yeah.
Like Emma Thompson walking in with her shoes in her hand. She's
yeah.
just like, they hurt.
You
what
can,
do you want me to
you
do?
You can do whatever you want. Yeah, the Oscars
she don't
are
give
very,
a fuck. Yeah.
But like, I enjoyed it last year. I enjoyed watching it this year. And then I had to, and then I'm so pissed off. I had to leave to go and teach small children writing. And I was, the moment I walked out the door, yeah. I got a text from Sean being like, Gabe, Mel just did something amazing. And he sent me a gif of Mel doing this really odd fist bump.
Yeah, it was like a reverse, like a backwards fist pump.
Wait, and
it was
when, sure
when the guy, when Hacksaw Ridge won it for editing and the yeah. editor thanked him and said he's a pleasure to work with, Mel Gibson like smiled this maniac smile and did like this weird, like not a fist bump, but he like turned his fist around the other way. It was like, I don't know. It was
so
weird.
His fingers were kind of facing, like, what was it? Handsome Tom said that he looked like he was somebody who was trying to pretend he didn't have fingers.
Yeah.
or something. It was really
Australians and their fingers this
and then,
year
like,
at the
just,
Oscars.
Yeah. And so the whole time I was sitting there being like, Oscars, 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 Oscars. And then like I finished it and I'd put a thing on Facebook being like, oh, I think I literally just said Academy Award winner Suicide Squad, which by the way, awesome. Mm-hmm. And like, I just, yeah. I'm so delighted that that happened. Mm. But
and
I'm
for costuming,
I'm disgusted.
Of all things,
it was makeup.
Oh,
actually.
Makeup. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Same dude.
But
not at all the same.
Yeah, whatever. But like, but you know, so I think I'd put that status up, and like somebody commented being like, "Oh yeah, they got." There was like a dumb joke of like they got it, and then they took it away again. And I was like, I don't get that reference.
Oh.
And then something came up being like, and all the stuff of people tweeting like, "What the fuck just happened?" What? And I was like, "Oh no, you done fucked up, Oscars. You done fucked up. Really,
go home,
bad.
Oscars. You're drunk.
Ever."
Like it just
couldn't have been worse.
Okay, so I put $50 on the Oscars winning.
Fucking hell.
On the Oscars winning.
Oh wait, no, what am I saying? On Moonlight winning. So I
the Oscars lost.
I had some
Yeah.
I had
the Oscars were not winners this year.
I had some financial incentive for Moonlight winning. I had this hunch. I also put $20 on Denzel Washington winning back in June.
See, that's
still
okay.
devastated that didn't happen.
That's keen.
I also had my lovely father telling me that La La Land was going to win. And, you know, so there's a bit of, I had some stakes in this.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was watching it after work. I had it on my computer and I was live streaming it. And as soon as they called out La La Land, I went, fuck you. And I slammed the screen down and I did refuse to watch anymore because I was just furious. And this is not an uncommon behavior for me. I did at the same time when I think Burn Man won. I had a similar behavior. I'm pretty sure I stormed out of someone's house.
Sure.
Dramatic reactions. Anyway, but I did not see what then was to come.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for like, you know, for the rest of the afternoon, I had no idea. My friends who knew I had money on invested in this messaged me to be like, oh, Kath, you must be like dripping in diamonds by now. And I literally sent like the saltiest text message back being like, fuck you, piece of fucking shit. And they just didn't reply because they had no idea why I was so angry because I had no idea why they were being such a dick. And
have they since replied?
No, they haven't replied, and I haven't apologized since
friendship's
I found
dead.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Handsome Tom said tonight, you've gained some money, but you've lost a friend. And I'm very okay with that.
No, look, fair enough.
That's
Yeah.
Oh, you.
Because when I found out my mistake, I realized what they were meaning, and then
you came close with Denzel though. Like he would have come second.
I thought he was going to win. Was on him.
Yeah.
And when the sex pest Casey Affleck stuff was coming up, I was like, whoa, baby.
Yeah.
I'm Ferrari's on me.
I'm glad you were happy about that, but yeah.
No, I wasn't. Fuck you. Damn it.
No, I was like just blown away when it happened because like the La La Land producer sort of leaned into the mic and did the whole like, nah, Moonlight, you're the best picture winner. And I thought he was doing like one of those Adele at the Grammys with Beyonce things. And I was like, oh, give me a fucking break, man, just to take your award and piss off. But then it was like, nah, it's been a fucking mistake.
Yeah. Right?
I don't understand how this envelope thing happened.
Oh, I've heard theories that it's Leo's fault. Have you guys heard those conspiracy theories? Because he took the envelope. He was the last person seen with that envelope.
Yeah.
And then, so there's like, I've heard theories that he would have, because there's photos of him, I think there may be photos of him hugging Warren Beatty. And they believe that the switch happened there. Like they put the envelopes down
because like,
and he got around. This is a theory. This is a completely unsubstantiated theory.
She was like, no, I had that best actress envelope the whole time. So I don't know how that happened.
But the thing is, there's two envelopes.
Oh, they'd have like five.
So the security firm that run the whole thing, they have two. And at some point, like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but yeah.
Leo.
There are two of them.
Leo
so
fucked some shit up.
Somehow Warren Beatty got. I don't know. He just fucked it up completely. But he like really
but
hesitated.
But Faye Dunaway said it. He was challenging it.
No, because he looked at it and was kind of like.
He didn't want to say it.
To me, I just thought he was having like a senior moment. I was like, oh, come on, mate.
I don't know how you fuck up on that level, but like if he'd read it and been like Emma Stone, like that totally makes sense. He'd be like, I'm not sure. And then.
Yeah, but it looked like he was trying to show her and she was kind of like, haha, hurry up and read it. And
yes,
she just looked at it and saw that and went, La La Land. But then he didn't question it. He just was like. For a split second, you watch him, and he just goes, yep.
And I felt like she was laughing at him like, oh, Warren,
yeah, like
you
she
crazy
thought he was,
thing.
Yeah,
like,
right?
And he was like, no, I actually have no idea what's going
on. See, like, because I watched it, like, shortly afterwards.
He was totally going to go with it. Like, he would have fucking taken that to his grave. He was just like, yep, all right, cool. Because he fucked up.
The definition of phoning
it. You can see
it
for like a second after she reads it. He's like, and then he goes, yeah, all right.
Yeah, La La Land. Do it. See, like, let's go down this road.
I already knew sort of the outcome. So, like, I guess I didn't have the. And I was so pissed off that, like, I had to leave and I wasn't there and I didn't get to see it. Because I didn't get to see, like, the moment as it unfolded.
Yeah.
But it was almost better finding out what happened and then watching the video and watching the whole La La Land speech.
I've got to admit, I've
knowing
watched,
what was going to happen.
Oh.
And I watched it with my mate Dan, who I work with at the studio with the kids.
Yep.
And he literally got up and just walked away. He was like, no, I can't. And he started just doing stuff. He was like, I can't watch this. He was like, this is too awkward. This is too painful. I cannot watch this. Meanwhile,
delicious.
He's leaving like, oh, the delicious cringe. Like, please, this is amazing.
I watched that video so many
Those
times.
Poor guys, though, like thanking their parents in their speech.
Oh, fuck,
and
they make a lot more money than we're ever going to make.
That's true.
Like, La La Land was still a winner. Like, it was still, like...
Didn't win the big one, though.
Oh.
It's like, oh, no, you made all of these millions of dollars with your film and you won all these awards and you're so acclaimed, but, oh, no, you didn't win the big one. Poor you.
No, fair enough, though, because he handled it pretty well, that bald producer.
Oh, yeah.
See, I could feel the salt sinking.
But he did pretty well. Like,
yeah,
wouldn't you, though? Like, wouldn't you?
I would have just bolted and not come back on that stage. It would have been
I'd be fucking furious with the Academy.
So angry.
Like, I bet he is. He looked angry.
I don't think I have that level of control over my temper.
Yeah, he handled it very well, I thought.
He... I think he handled extremely well considering the circumstance. I think any of us can look at that.
I agree,
and say,
actually, because he did. Yeah. He came back and he, because someone else would have handed it over to that official and just been like, "You take the show." But he came on and he was like, "No, they're the winner, and I want to like,
because I read like an article later about sort of what happened and stuff, and it's the security firm who run, you know, all the the ballots. And, they've got the envelopes and everything, and that guy, as they're doing their acceptance speech, was like, "Oh no, no, it's a mistake," and he ran out. I just wonder, like, did he sit there for like a split second and be like, I want to keep my job. Maybe I'll just let this play out.
Yeah, like what? How? Yeah, I mean,
because he's
definitely
fired. He's
is it? But is it his fault?
Well, he's part of the problem. Like Warren Beatty, he's not getting back on the Oscar stage again.
No, he is. Mark my words, he will
be
back.
He'll come back
and
next
he
year. He'll be like, well, we're going to get it right this time.
I reckon he will award Best Picture because of what happened. They got, what's his name, John Travolta back after the Adele Dazeem disaster.
Yeah, but Best Picture is like,
to not have him back is more awkward than
back,
to have him back.
But it'll be for like something
opinion.
Like, you know, makeup and whatever, and he'll give it to Suicide Squad when that inevitably comes out.
Can't wait for that to come out and win even more.
I'm disgusted
Oscars.
that has won an Oscar. That is now an Academy Award winning film.
Isn't it just
it is
the
just
best?
Despicable.
Like, yeah, it was definitely a very up there ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
Best one ever.
I loved it. It had a twist ending.
Had a bit of everything.
One of the things I've been watching the Oscars since I was a little girl. I used to stay up late, you know, sneak into the living room to listen, you know, have the volume on one and press my ear against it. I was a big time, long time fan. Oh, yeah. Do you remember there's this one year?
Nerd, we'll say, on movie maintenance.
There's this one year when Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin were presenting, and they made this joke. They're like, and if anyone wants a transcript of tonight's show, get a life. And the moment before that the beat between when they made the setup and they made that punchline, I was like, there's a transcript? I got so excited. I was like, this is a thing I can have? Like, long time Oscars. I don't even know where I'm going with the story.
No, you love the Oscars.
Oh,
so
yeah, as a long time. As
they're
a
relevant.
So you're part of the problem.
Yeah. As a long time Oscars fan, I can't stand an Oscars where you know what's going to happen. And
so you thought it delivered?
I thought it was the best one. I loved Jimmy Kimmel.
He did a good job.
Jimmy Kimmel in
general.
I think
it was good, yeah.
I love the bit, getting the people up on the...
It's all right. It just went for a bit too long.
Yeah, but it did kind
it
of
was
drag
hilarious.
On a bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think when all's said and done, like, I kind of feel like the Oscars kind of, as they stand, still are very flawed. I don't think they've really resolved their problems of just, like, nominating films that just... I think they need to be a bit more stringent about what they're nominating. I think they need to think a bit more about, like, I think it's a very, because it's the Academy and because, like, it's entirely Hollywood types in there, it's very insular.
Yeah.
And it's a very insular thing where these films kind of get chosen within Hollywood types, kind of all jerking each other off.
Yeah.
As opposed to films that are actually the best or the most relevant or, you know, the most sort of exciting of the year.
Yeah.
However, I do kind of think it's one of those things where the only way it's going to change is sort of if they kind of have this steep decline of relevance or of people watching it. Yeah. And today you kind of just proved that hasn't happened.
No. Yeah.
Like,
and it's
still
unlikely to.
It's unlikely to. So I guess
if
relevance...
people kept watching after Anne Hathaway and James Franco, they'll keep watching
and it's like
for a long time.
At a certain point, it's like we're literally old man yells at cloud when it comes to the Oscars. When we're like, they're not relevant. But it's like, well, they kind of are, because every year they come out and people still flock to see all the films that get nominated, whether they're deserving or not. And these debates happen every single year. Mm-hmm. And it has not... It doesn't seem to have, I don't know what the ratings are or anything like that, but it doesn't seem to have changed the cultural relevance of the Oscars at this point.
I get really annoyed. I would imagine about 90% of the films that are nominated all came out in like December, and that shits me.
Yeah, that does really annoy me.
It shouldn't be like that, and that won't change. I don't think that's ever going to change.
Well, people often say the Academy has short memories.
No, but they don't necessarily. Like Grand Budapest Hotel got nominated for a lot of stuff, and that came out in March.
Mad Max.
Every now and again a film sort of...
I'm pretty sure Captain Fantastic. I mean, that was like, I think it was like August, I think.
Hell or High Water came out a while back. But for the majority, it's like all these films that just kind of get shuffled in at the back end of December.
Yeah, and it's overwhelming because then we have this like this huge,
and then,
like,
we get this rush. Like, I know here in Australia, like, you know, we get a lot of the Oscar films in January, February, March,
and then you've just got to frantically watch them all in time.
It just annoys me. I wish it was just the best films from that year,
look,
not the best films that came
films
out in
come out in that time. Whenever films come out like in that December January slot, that's my first, like, and if it's a prestige drama, that's my first warning sign of Oscar bait. And there have been films that have transcended that and sort of done good things, and they do exist. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are just a lot of forgettable kind of, you know, middlebrow, not very good dramas that come out in that time and kind of populate that ballot, and the Oscars still go for them.
Yep.
And that's kind of why I still do think at a certain level, whether it's like something that's remotely like planned or anything like that, I do kind of think it's just sort of... it's kind of just a business.
Yep.
It's like, you know, people, I know, Kath, you have your doubts about this, but I really do believe that there is this almost mini industry within the industry of people who gear films towards all the things that the Oscars love. 100%. I don't necessarily think, I don't think really that Moonlight is one of those films. I don't, because you're right about the star power thing. You're right about how tiny it was.
And also Barry Jenkins, it's such a personal story to him that like, unless he was born and he was like, I want to be an Oscar.
And that's okay.
Film.
That's okay.
But there are producers like the Weinsteins who very much are like, how can we get nominations?
Studios and producers to a certain extent, but I don't know if I believe. I mean, there's sure there's some filmmakers, but I don't know. I'm more skeptical that a filmmaker sits down and is just like, all I want to do is win an Oscar.
Yep. Do you guys think that there's an award ceremony that is a better sort of representation? Well, something like the Screen Actors Guild Awards or something like that.
They kind of all go for the same stuff generally, don't they?
There's like, not, there's not much variation.
It's always the same kind of awards season
for the
films.
Oscars. Mm-hmm. This is movie maintenance.
Okay. Go on.
This is my fix for the Oscars. Best Picture is a huge, broad brushstroke of a category that it's just like, it's too broad and too confusing as to pinpoint, like you said, what is it? Is it the film that, you know, made you feel the most? Is it the film, but they award it to the producers. So is it the film that was the most technically difficult to pull together? You know, I think that there should be separate categories. Best Film should purely be that. Which film just worked the best for the people who are voting, and Best Producers should be its own category, because then a film like La La Land will obviously win Best Producing because that film was incredibly hard to put together. A modern musical, they had these huge hurdles, and then a film like Moonlight or Arrival for some people, or Hell or High Water or whatever it is.
I don't
is.
Feel like there's enough separation though there.
But then like who does really? It go to?
Where do you draw the line in that?
Because it, like, does it go to the director? They've got Best Director. Does it go to the writer? They've got Best Screenplay.
Moonlight should have won a Best Picture, and then your secondary Best Picture category would have been La La Land?
No. I think, and this is maybe a bad year to demonstrate it.
What are you labeling these categories?
Best Producing, I guess, and then Best Picture. Best Picture just literally means just that, the film that was the most powerful film of the year, regardless of the way it was put together.
For me, it's just the same as having already Best Picture and then Best Director. Do you know what I mean? Because the assumption is that the two go hand in hand, but it's kind of like, how do you judge the merit of someone's directing?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's inherently a subjective.
Yeah, I just think that would muddy the waters even more. I don't know if it fixes.
See, I feel like if they had that right, and so that way people could, I don't know, have an outlet for that, for those films where it's like really technical, like Boyhood, right?
Mm.
That should have been one for its produce. Those producers had the hardest job out of everyone in my year. They did the greatest job at producing a film for that year, and I feel that Jews do need to be paid for that particular craft in itself, the craft of producing. And then that, if we have it as its own category, then we have room for people to just vote with their heart.
But Kath, for me, for Best Film sort of encapsulates, like Gabe said earlier, I think every aspect.
Every aspect, but every other aspect is separated.
It's the directing, it's the producing, it's the acting, it's everything that works in conjunction, and then you just have a clear, like it's cleaner than
having a separation. I agree with that, and that's why I think you have to separate it, because there's that element of producing is not recognized then.
No, but see, for me, like,
I know you think it's the same thing,
but there's the Producers Guild Awards.
But then why? Okay, then why
is also, you know, Screen Actors Guild Awards is also.
Yeah, and what about there's Directing Guild Awards? Yeah, like, why do we have a separate category for director and not producer?
Best film, it just encapsulates every aspect of
film. Yes, we separate director as well.
I do think,
so why not producers?
Like, do the Oscars have to be the thing that, like, you know, gives a little bit out to everybody? That's why we have, so the Screen Actors, we focus on the acting. The Directors Guild is the directors. The Producers Guild is this. We have these separate award shows. But then when you bring everything together in the end, it's like Best Film is just every aspect of filmmaking that works together. And that's
I agree with that.
At the end of the day, though, like when all is said and done, it's exactly what Kath said before with the George Clooney quote. Was it George Clooney?
Yeah,
The
G. Clunes.
Yeah.
My good friend.
Your mate, G. Clunes.
Yeah, I text him all the time.
Old mate.
Yeah, that thing about like you remember the work, not the awards. And that ultimately is so true, because there are just so many films that got snubbed and so many films that won that get forgotten about.
For sure.
And I mean, you can rail against the Oscars' relevance and everything, but ultimately it's like they are voted by people. They are voted by people in the industry who probably have a stake in the films that win, who probably are thinking, I want to vote for my friends or whatever. I don't really know. I don't really know how it works.
And there's like, all the campaigning and the luncheons and the, and I met this person, he's so lovely.
All of that
stuff.
And ultimately it is extremely flawed, but like so will be any award thing, because like imagine like if it was like a Critics' Choice Award, if the Oscars were run by critics alone,
then
we complain about that. Because
and
it's
that's
like,
the vibes.
There is no actual fix to it. I just think, I just really believe
fix is maybe too broad a statement. I think an improvement in
and then, you know,
mind.
I just really believe People's Choice Awards, and that's like
good film.
With
good
real
films survive.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And 10 years from now, whatever, like if you look at the best picture ones, I'd like to think something like Hell or High Water will still be regarded very highly.
Well, for me, yeah. It would be Arrival, but yeah. And yeah. also Moonlight.
Yeah, Arrival. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. That's it. I mean, you can, as much as you can like complain, dissect, I think when all's said and done, you do that with any awards or anything that's like remotely beholden to subjectivity. So
absolutely.
When all is said and done, it's like, what's going to endure? What's going to, and it's frustrating thing, because you want to see these films kind of get their due rewards in the short term, but you don't know, you can always guess what films are going to be classics, what films are going to stand the test of time, but you don't really know until like, I mean, even I think the Dark Knight, we knew like 2 or 3 years later that it's like people are still talking about it today.
Yeah.
People are still holding it up as like the benchmark of the genre.
Yeah.
People are still, and that didn't even get nominated, you know?
Yeah.
When it probably should have.
Yeah.
I know for me, like if there's one film from 2016 that I just know that I'm still probably going to love 10 years from now, it'll be Hunt for the Wilder People.
Absolutely.
Right. And it doesn't,
I totally agree.
It doesn't really bother me that it's not nominated for Oscars, because at the end of the day, who gives a shit?
Yeah. When all's said and done, it's bullshit. Who cares?
Except the money.
Yeah. Although it is fun to get
caught. Not to be
and
a cut.
The statues.
No, but also like,
But it totally is fun to just get like caught up, to watch the Oscars, to live tweet, to do all of that stuff,
so
to get
fun.
Caught up in it.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, it's just when it's all over and done with, I mean, we're probably just going to forget what felt like. I honestly had to Google what film won Best Picture like two years ago or 3 years ago or whatever, because it doesn't matter in the end.
Mm.
But hey, whatever. Here we are. And on that note, I've been Gabe.
I've been Sean.
I've been Kath.
And yeah, if you have any opinions about the Oscars or about what won or about the little bit of fuckery with Best Picture, they're not Best Picture, feel free to email us in at sanspenceradio.
And that Chalaman ending.
Feel free to email us in at sanspenceradio@gmail.com or at sanspenceradio on Twitter, or I'm at Goldbergmoser.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
Oh, I'm at my house right now. I don't know. I don't have a Twitter.
Get Twitter, Kath.
Get a Twitter, mate.
Yeah.
If you want to complain about Kath, just tweet.
No, I don't.
Just tweet us so we can screenshot that. No. Tweet us so we can screenshot your abusive tweets, print them out, and just stick them all around Kath's room when she's not home. So she goes home and realizes just how thoroughly despised she is.
You'll come home. I'll be playing Adele, food all over my face.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, God, all right. Time.
Thanks, see you later.
If you think this show is worth at least a dollar, why not donate to our Patreon account? Follow the links on our website, sanspantsradio.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.